upon Duchil Shabbos, to save a life, and the man over the mitzvah won't do it, then the cotton or the woman who can view themselves like a kind of a Shabbos guy, you know, you won't do it, you'll ask me to do it. Something of that nature. That's not so completely clear, because if that's against one eye, they knock it. When it comes to knocking, they don't think Shabbos chalav einayim. What does that mean? The guy doesn't have to keep Shabbos. The summer turned the other way around. You shouldn't say, well, it's really prohibited to be done, and therefore the man's not doing it, but he's going to get it, he'll ask the wife, and he'll ask his son to do it, because really Shabbos is being mechula shalom gedin in Western, and therefore the... That's not so completely clear, that that's against one eye, they knock it. When it comes to knocking, they don't think Shabbos chalav einayim. What does that mean? The guy doesn't have to keep Shabbos. The summer turned the other way around. You shouldn't say, well, it's really prohibited to be done, and therefore the man's not doing it, but he's going to get it, he'll ask the wife, and he'll ask his son to do it, because really Shabbos is being mechula shalom kedin in Western, and therefore the guy will get the same conclusion that he doesn't ask the guy to do it, he was not supposed to ask the guy to do it, as we discussed in previous weeks. That's another interpretation. In either event, I commented this draw from Mansi. Nowadays, I can't imagine nowadays the issue of having to date Noshim should be a consideration, because everyone knows now that the Shabbat Aruch is the same for men and for women. I mean, I'm not too Shabbat Aruch. He told him, yes, I know the other question. He told me over the following story. No, he knows that in Munsi, in certain circles, there are two Shabbat Aruch, one for men and one for women. I don't mean, with appropriate, that's two Shabbat Aruch. I mean, Hilchus Shabbos. Oh, there are thousands of them. I forgot to open up the tuna fish cans before Shabbat. He spoke about it at length a long time ago. He opened that Shabbat. I said, what'll happen? The man will say, tell his son, his daughter, maybe you'll open the tuna fish can for me. Or tell his wife, you open the tuna fish can. I wouldn't do it, but my wife or my daughter will do it. Etc. And then he gave other examples, which are more problematic than tuna fish cans, which are probably permissibly discussed. Became exactly what the Rambam was fearful of. So they Shabbos Kala Veinayim in the sense that, you know, they'll leave two a second Shulchan Aruch. So I'm very much opposed to this. I think there should be one Shulchan Aruch for the house. And it should apply to everybody. Men and women the same. As long as it's a mitzvah which applies to both equally. So therefore, that story sort of gave me pause. And apparently these problems the Rambam felt so many hundred years ago are still existing today in certain circles. Okay. What happens if a person is frum? Can't be Makal Shabbos to save a life. Rambam calls him an apokeres. He's a non-believer. He doesn't believe the basis of Jewish law. And what if the person does not want to allow himself to be saved on Shabbos? He refuses to go into the ambulance. You try to convince him. If that fails, you tie him up and bring him in. That's what it says. You force him in there because he's a chassid shaita, an idiot. And for this reason, the Shemir Shabbos quotes from the Shulchan Aruch that you really should do it yourself and not get a goy to do it. The question is why? Two reasons. One, the Jew will do it faster. Witness Hatzalah. Hatzalah is so much faster than the EMS. It's not even close. Second reason, if you do it through a goy, we're afraid and people will say, oh, you have to get a goy. And next time there's no goy around, they'll just won't do it. Difference will be, what if the goy is standing there? The goy will do just as fast a job. We're not discussing, you know, running an ambulance. We're discussing trying to get to the hospital. So you take a goyish cab and you drive yourself. So most postmen say it's better to take the goyish cab for a variety of reasons. Drive yourself, or do it with your car. I mean, you gotta get there, or you do it after that, etc. So, but at the same time, as you made it clear, if everyone's around, you're taking the cab because it's convenient. You drive, cabbies drive faster than plain people, and they'll probably come right away. But you should make it clear to anyone who happens to be around you that in case the cab doesn't come, you're going to go yourself. You shouldn't think that it happens, you have to wait for the cab. If the cab doesn't show up, in fact, you just go. Similarly, if you could do something we call a shinui, what does shinui mean? An abnormal fashion, without compromising what you're doing, or the speed in which you're doing it, if the speed is a concern, better to do a shinui, because that's the rabbanu, which we learned so many times. But you should tell people, because of Shlomo Zalman, you should tell them, I'm doing it for shinui. You know, if I couldn't do a machine, I'd do it regularly. I shouldn't think it's only with the machine. They put on a light. Use your elbows. It's better. Why not? The rabbanon, it doesn't take any extra time. And they always say, don't drive machine. It's a whole chapter about how you drive machine. I reject the entire chapter. Don't signal, use your hand signals. Oh, that's hard to think about these things. I mean, and he says, you know, you should try to get the car down. You have a ship car. So if you just sort of do something, it'll just go off by itself without the brakes. I don't know how these things work, but it seems to be too dangerous, unless you're really experienced. And have solar vehicles, they try to do if they can, is take out the light, which they don't really need, the inner light, which, you know, if you open the door, light goes on. You don't really need that, if you don't need it. You do need that. Yes?
I'm sorry, I
just
want to know, how do you know if something is like,
then we're going to go down to the next time. If someone was Michal Shabbos to save a life and he failed, the person died, or on the contrary, by the time he got there, the person was already all better. He called the doctor, come running, he comes running the patient, all better. So did he do an Aveira? Chas v'sholem, did a tremendous mitzvah, even though they did it for naught. Okay. What exactly is a chola sheyesh bo sakana? That's the major, most important question of all. Literally it means his life is in danger. Either in imminent danger or later danger. It's called chola sheyesh bo sakana. Who's to determine? If there's a doctor there, the doctor determines. If there's no doctor there, the sick person himself can be the doctor. He can be a doctor even against the doctor. If the person thinks that his life is in danger, so you have to assume that maybe there's a chance there really is. If there's no doctor, the person says nothing, say it's just, I don't know, anyone knows a little bit, you know, he says, oh, look, it's to me, I've seen cases before, solo. I'm a nurse, I'm a this, I had once had a brother who was sick. Whatever, someone who's firm, who understands that Chilul Shabbos is not just to be, you know, do like this. Now, here's a list here in his book, paper, of 16 cases of what he considers to be Chilul Shabbos. 16 cases. Obviously, doesn't mean it's only 16. Just giving examples of various categories of Chilul Shabbos. I rattle them off quickly. First one is high fever. How high is high? So it's a big dispute. I think our Moshe is 101 or something like 100. It's already considered a cause of fushes. Most of that's crazy. If you walk around the room, here probably 101 people. It all depends. If you don't know what the reason is, if you know it's just some little a virus or something. Kids, if you have high fever and you don't know what it's coming from, it could be a possibility of pikuach nefesh, depending on how high it is, what the case is. If it comes to a child, of course, chazan ish, any fever could be sakana nefesh. I think it's afraid of. Again, I'm not being a doctor, but I know chas v'sholem could be meningitis. Chas v'chalilu. Apparently, a low-grade fever in child that continues to be a chalila to chalila, you know. We know so many kids who have walk around with fever, what kind of crazy things. If you don't know where it's coming from, who knows? If, category two, fever which comes from a internal organ problem, a lung or other internal organ problem?
How do
you know? You don't know. If you do know, then three, a wound, an internal wound, internal bleeding, a tremendous internal pain, but you don't know what's coming, it's a heart attack, you don't know what's coming from. Four, serious bleeding, not from the capillaries, most of them, really from the veins or the arteries, deeper cut. What are the myomachemists for this? He keeps going, Das Rofek. He calls the doctor. Doesn't say which doctor. So what did the doctor say? It's dangerous? We have to. Five, an open wound. An open wound of a long bone. Long bones are the arm bones, the leg bones. They're long bones. If it's broken, it could be dangerous. Certainly something wrong with the skull or with the spine or the other internal break. Six, even a wound on the back of your hand or your foot, when it hit the blood, I don't know what that means exactly. The wrist, something, you can bleed, yeah, the veins are there. Seven is a rusty nail. You know that, that's Khalila, what's that called? That's called tetanus. Of course, a tetanus shot can be given within, I think, 12 hours, 24 hours, you have to know exactly the cases. Or some other infection in it which causes a cut. If you know for a fact that you wait 12 hours to the shot, you should wait. Lymph node infection. Eight. Nine, possibly a blood poisoning, Khalila. Tennis or some limb. This is disease, it could spread to the entire body. 11 is a splinter right into the fingernail. Now that's also considered dangerous. Doctor said so. 12 is sunstroke. 13 is a bee sting if you're allergic to it. 14 is a rabid dog. 15 is poison. 16, loss of consciousness. Somebody faints. And you don't know exactly where it comes from, also psychotic symptoms. And then, of course, is the Baruch Hashem category, which is all deserves a separate kind of separate paragraph. You give birth, Baruch Hashem. That's considered a good thing, not a bad thing, another. But the first 3 days, you're considered to be in the category of Kol HaShiyesh B'Sakon. And some say even up to 7 days in certain situations. There can be, in the case of a child, what you might call psychological danger. For example, the child is locked in. Child loves him, doesn't know what to do, locks the door on himself. What happens then? Can't get out. It's considered to be dangerous to the child. Panic, you can panic, I can't get out of here. This happened to one of my sons many years ago in camp, that locked himself into a bedroom. He had a frantic phone call, help, your son's locked in, come calm him down. They came, I spoke to him, I calmed him down, I'm right here, don't worry about it. P.S., they jiggled a lot, they couldn't get in. They took the whole order. They said, you want to hinge the whole order, was bad. It's a serious matter. They took the whole order.
Cute.
Not a joke. It wasn't Shabbos, but I mean, we put there on Shabbos too. Yeah, we assume that if someone's a little bit old, they get to go locked.
No, I don't mean locked. It's not locked.
Yeah, if there is psychiatric emergency, that is definitely joke of Shabbos. If someone's, I'm going to jump off the bridge. They had to walk, as I say, the George Washington ready to jump off. And it's Shabbos. You gotta run, get into your car, if you know how to do it, run to talk them out of it. I wouldn't know exactly how, but get a psychiatrist. In the car, on Shabbos, to talk them out of it, no question about it. That's a real psychologist approach. And not everybody who's going to commit suicide is for real. You're not going to have people say that for all kinds of reasons. But if it's diagnosed as an emergency, she's a capable professional. Right.
Is there emotional support for adults? Like,
sure.
Somebody's in the hospital and they're really basically okay.
Oh, yes. The Gemara is the following case. I'll give you the case of the Gemara. A woman is about to give birth. She has a status of a yesh basakon. And there's no light. Not enough light. There's dim light. And she feels, in her mind, that if they don't put on a big light, she's going to not be treated properly. And she may be in sakon. Even though the doctor, the midwife, whoever is delivering the child, doesn't need any more light. Has enough light, no problem. Because the psychological well-being of the mother, it's the Gemara. They're permitted to light a fire to make it very, very well lit on Shabbos. You really don't really need it, because she thinks you need it. Now, the woman is having a child, she's not a baby. But even adults, when they're under stress and strain, they have a psychological need, which could impact upon their physical health. The doctors have now realized it thousands of years later, the impact of psychology on physiology, on health. Chazal knew it a long time ago. Now, it's not clear whether it applies only to a woman who's about to give birth, because the labor pains that we all know, the concept of labor is largely dependent upon what's going on in the head. What about stam someone who's sick? So many posts can say, even if you're stam sick, you can do things if you have to. Let's say she's going to the hospital. Come along with the hospital. Well, he's not a doctor. Her husband comes along. Or someone comes along. He's not a doctor. But if the woman feels that she wants her husband to be with her, if it's either in trouble or even something else, it's many posts who say it's because of that. Not maybe not Muppet, but what's the guy doing? He's only going along in the car. Not if he's doing something extra.
If someone's in the hospital, they
must have
to call you. Like, let's say they're in dire pain, so they call you, and you can...
Well, I'm going to tell you, how did they get in touch with you?
They did it, but you...
How'd you hear it?
Are you
answering machine. The answering machine. There's an answering machine, and you hear that this... Hello, this is your son, this is your father, this is your wife, this is your husband. Help! If you're a doctor, of course you pick up on it, but I'm not a doctor. What can I help? What's going to help? I'll tell you a secret. Now, you know, I'm not kidding around. It may be, sorry to say the thing, but it may be, and I was told by many people about this. If you have a relative in the hospital, and it's really serious, there should be somebody there. Because if there's nobody there, you never know what's going to happen. I've been told by many people, physicians included, that the care in the hospital, the nurses, the doctor can care of so many patients, you can easily just sort of let one guy go, the guy can literally die in the hospital, but they didn't bother looking in on him. Which somebody there, come and scream, look! Now, obviously, you should try to be that. You shouldn't wait till the help scream in the answering machine. You should try to be an hospital, with the person if it's appropriate. But if it came to that, you thought it was nothing serious, now the guy says help, it may not be purely psychological. It may actually be medical. Have somebody there, not that you could do anything yourself, but you could scream and get the doctor's help. Every doctor spread thin, there's 20 patients on the floor. You know how it works. I demand, I'll sue you, I'll do it. So unfortunately, you have to speak up. Yeah, that's just the way it is with this world. You don't speak up, you'll ask, so it could be it's even a medical need to spend time there. So I would say, especially if you can go with a cab, which you're up on, I would run. Beyond that, it's hard to get to judge case by case. You hear an answer machine from some coalition from Sakana, help! I'm not being treated right now, so I would call the kid and go. That's what I would do. Yes?
How do you do with paying the children?
You take a $20 bill and you give it to him.
No problem paying him? Don't do it later.
He's not going to take it if you don't pay him.
No, but tell him I'll pay him later.
That's what you're going to do. If you have a charge account with a car service, it's better that way, okay? And if not, it's better. If you don't, you take out your money to pay. Yes?
What's your leeway if the person in need of help is a guy?
What did you say?
What is your leeway if the person in need of help is a guy? Like if someone has a heart attack on the street near a doctor?
You touched a very sensitive point, which I was going to postpone to later, but I'm not going to chicken out once you raised it. I'll just address it. I was asked, just to give you some, make it contemporary, the following story happened to me. No one doesn't know about this, but between us, happened in one of the local Hatzalah organizations. One of the local neighborhood Hatzalahs, a man was coming home from Shabbos, coming home from a call in the ambulance, Friday night, just after Shabbos had begun. P.S. Another question. Are you allowed to come back? If you go to that station, are you allowed to come back? So in this case, no problem. You had the ambulance, and if you needed the ambulance back, of course you can come back. If not, it becomes a whole issue. So if you go there, who's going to go back? The Rav Moshe, the famous Chuva, which he writes, if